Okay, next case for argument, United States v. Dawson. Mr. Gable.
Good morning, Your Honor. If it pleases the Court, my name is Thomas Gable. I'm an assistant federal public defender from the Southern District of Illinois. The issue that we have before the Court is whether or not the sentencing judge's justification, the very 100% from the guidelines, was supported or not supported by facts in the record. Your Honor, when we look at this case, there's no doubt that Mr. Dawson had a very troubled period in his time. But when you look in detail, his two violent crimes, one came from 1975, the other came from 1982. Those are the last two incidences of violence, 35 and 28 years prior to the incident case. When you look at the fact the trial judge, the sentencing judge, talked about the other times that Mr. Dawson had a weapon in his possession, go back in 75, back in the early 80s, and the last one in 87. That's the last time that he was charged with a weapons possession until this case. And what's really key, this is almost a classic case that the guidelines considered when they put their time limits in. Mr. Dawson came out of Arkansas, where he grew up working in the fields by the time he was 6 years old. He was a very violent person as a young man. But over a period of time, that changed.
Well, we don't really know that.
We can show that his...
No, he wasn't caught, right? I don't know what
he's
doing.
That's correct, Your Honor. But we do know in 1988 he started working. We know from 88 to 94 he worked for a billboard company in St. Louis. When that went out of business, he started working as a machinist and worked in 94 when he had an accident and became disabled. So we're seeing a change in his behavior, one that's documented. And from the mid to late 80s, you see a man that goes from having felonies to having misdemeanors. He did have one felony in 2005, I want to say, where he had a half a gram of crack cocaine. But all those is what the Sentencing Commission, the guidelines, actually look for when you look at a person's history. When you start dropping off the criminal history points.
But now a judge is permitted to have his own penal philosophy. He's not bound by the guidelines.
That's correct, Your Honor.
And the judge, Judge Hernan, didn't like the time limits in the guidelines, and apparently didn't like the 4-point rule either.
That's correct.
Wasn't that his entitlement to reject these?
Your Honor, in U.S. v. Miller, the Seventh Circuit held that a judge must give a justification that explains and supports the magnitude of his variance. Here, he varied 100%. The fact that my client...
This is what, 24 to 48 months?
18 to 24, and he went to 48. So if you took the top end... He varied 100%.
Okay. But it's still, but for, you know, 4 years, not a huge sentence.
It is if you're 64 years old, Your Honor.
Well, and that's part of the judge's reasoning, that this fellow may have slowed down somewhat, but he hasn't stopped. And the only deterrence for him would be the incarceration. That was his reasoning.
I understand that, Your Honor, but the question becomes, did he need to go as high as he went? Did he need to go to the top end of the range? Instead of justifying his variance, he decided he didn't like the idea that criminal history points dropped off.
But he can do that.
Your Honor, I believe that he has to justify his variance. And he has to justify it based on the record. He listed the man's crimes, but I don't think he justified why he went that high.
What he lists is a lifetime pattern unchanged into his 60s. He's not aging out of this.
Your Honor,
two fairly recent serious convictions involving drugs.
Well, he had two convictions that involved drugs, the one in 2005 with a half gram, and he had the one that with the gun that had drugs involved. But when you look at the magnitude of the drugs, we're not talking about a huge dealer. We're not talking about someone who is out there robbing and stealing. The question becomes, is a variance justified? And my position would be that it's not.
But I think with a two-year sentence, he'd be back in the drug trade when he got out.
I understand your position, Your Honor.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Gable. Mr. Simonson?
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the Court, Andrew Simonson on behalf of the United States. In this matter, under the sentencing requirements, number one, a judge is required to accurately come up with a guideline calculation, which is not challenged here. And secondly, he must consider the factors under 18 U.S.C. 3553A. Pursuant to this court's guidance, a judge has considerable discretion, and that the judge must discuss his reasons under 3553A. In this case, the judge thoroughly analyzed the 3553A factors in coming up with his sentence of 48 months. And it is noted that that is within the statutory maximum of 100.
You said in your brief, I'm looking at page 17 of your brief.
I'm sorry, what page, Your Honor?
Page 17. You said that when the district court, the district judge said, if one were to look at the guideline system and award points for all those crimes that do not get awarded points, we would be looking here at a sentence of somewhere in the range of 41 to 51 months, just by awarding points to convictions that have been zeroed out. That's okay. Then your comment on that quotation is that the judge was referring both to convictions that were zeroed out because of time limitations and zeroed out because of the four-point rule. But he didn't mention the four-point rule. So why do you say he was referring to both?
Well, I think in looking at how he would have calculated the totals, that's how he would have had to have done that. And I'm not sure if he specifically noted that, but one of the and that was in response to one of the points of...
If he hadn't zeroed out the four-point sentence, if he hadn't zeroed out the four-point limitation, it would have been higher than 41 to 51 months?
No, I'm saying that what he did was, by not accounting for the length of the history as well as the four-point top-out, he didn't apparently look at either one of those, but by counting the calculation of all those prior offenses, he ended up at 41 to 51 months. That was the understanding of the government on how he would have come up with that.
That's what I was trying to say. You're saying that he wouldn't have gotten up to 41-51 if he hadn't ignored both of these
correct
guideline provisions.
That is correct. That is correct. And, Your Honor, the government does not believe that the district court abused its discretion here. It thoroughly explained the reasons for the sentence in this matter, by detailing its analysis of the various factors, which included the history and characteristics, the nature and circumstance of the offense, specifically discussing deterrence to criminal conduct and protecting the public, the seriousness of the offense, and promoting respect for the law. And based on that thorough analysis, the government believes that it was the district court acted properly in its sentence and it should be upheld. Unless there are additional questions.
Thank you, Mr. Simonson. Mr. Gable, do you have anything further?
Sir, your questions, Your Honor, I'm completed.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. And you were appointed, were you not? Were you appointed?
Federal public defender, Your Honor.
Okay, we thank the public defenders. And we